Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the state of mankind, about our consciousness, about where are we headed, what does the future hold for us, how can we make our life better to prevent some cataclysmic war, and to make life better for ourselves and our children. Nitza, please. Yeah, Oren, what you just described is something that many people fear, also scientists and others. I think it was Stephen Hawking who said that the pace of our development is such that on the one hand, our aggression, the violence, our desire to control others is going and growing. And on the other hand, we're developing things like artificial intelligence, and the distance from this to self-destruction is quite short. And there are many other people who think so too. From what we see, from the way that humanity is developing, we're on our way to something not that great, probably. And this is what we wanted to ask you about, because we know that the wisdom of Kabbalah, it talks about some kind of change, some kind of developmental, positive, interesting developmental process that we'd like to talk about today. And my question is, how do you see what's on the horizon? Meaning that if there are scientists, researchers that say that things can turn for the worst, the wisdom of Kabbalah says, no, we can take a different path. My question is, what is it? Thousands of years ago, the wisdom of Kabbalah, when it became revealed to mankind, it told us about the entire process that humanity is supposed to go through. And really, to this day, for thousands of years, we're following that very exact program, that very exact process, and nothing changes. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that we're developing by our completely egoistic force, which is the will to receive pleasure from everything and anything, which actually characterizes every person and also the still, the vegetative, and the animate. And this egoistic force develops in the still, the vegetative, and the animate in a very slow way, but in the human species, its development is very rapid. And within a matter of years, we feel how much the world changes. We're saying that this generation isn't like the previous one, they were different. We always want to say that things used to be better the way they were. And from thousands of years ago, there are such stories about these things. But what I want to say is that force that develops as the egoistic force, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, it goes through certain special transformation, where at first it pushes us toward development, and we develop our life, science, education, culture, everything that we have, the ties, the connections between us, of course, until we reach a state where we start seeing that this force that developed us, on the one hand, it does develop us. It continues developing us, yes. But on the other hand, it doesn't give us anything good. We're starting to identify that our entire development, no one enjoys it. Necessarily, we're running after new mobiles, new things, but at the end of the day, where is our happiness? Where is it? Why don't I feel happy? I have to take a sleeping pill or some drug to feel that I feel good. What is happiness altogether? Please tell me, what does it mean to be happy? And today, humanity is facing this eternal question, not knowing how to answer it. Okay, we have everything. Okay, in technology, we'll develop a few more gadgets, toys. We'll build apartments, cars, different things for our use so that I'll have more of. I'll have another 1,000 TV channels, or I'll have such a computer that who knows what. But all in all, I, the user, what do I need these 1,000 channels for? What do I need this big, great world that's confusing us for? That's shoving itself into everything. I want to rest. No, it pops out from under the bed. I want to rest. Comes out of the closet. I want to rest. Everywhere. The truth is that I myself don't know what I want. That's also true. I don't know. Please give me the form, the shape of happiness, of tranquility, of something good, nice, beautiful. I go to some lake. I position my chaise longue. I rest. I lay down. I feel no pleasure. After a minute, after 10 minutes, what now? Meaning, I travel someplace, I look at different new things. After a few minutes, there's nothing to enjoy. And this is how it is with everything. Not even mentioning that I can't enjoy my family, my children. It's not only up to me, but it's also up to them. They too behave toward me this way. Maybe toward my ego, but that's how it is. In short, on the one hand, we are very successful creatures in terms of our intellect, technology, in building anything and everything for ourselves. On the other hand, I look at people. I travel a lot in many countries around the world. The people I see, they're as if looking for something. What are they looking for? Happiness. And there's none of it anywhere. They walk around the streets of the city. They fly someplace. Why? What for? Maybe the next moment I'll find it. Find what? No one knows what. Really? No one knows. Man reached a state where he's satisfied with seldom moments of joy. We're talking about seconds, minutes. He doesn't live out of joy, but out of the expectation for it. Exactly. Maybe the next moment I will have something. Maybe the next moment. And this is what he lives off. We're expecting for something good to happen. And so what follows is that in our times, where we can provide ourselves with everything, we feel that we actually have nothing. And this is something that the sages of the Kabbalah talked about thousands of years ago. They said that the generation will come when they will start discovering their evil, that their development gives them no joy, contentment, tranquility, inner content, pleasure, but despair, emptiness, helplessness. A person remains in a state where he has everything, but he has nothing. And this is the most miserable generation. And to this generation, the wisdom of Kabbalah has to bring a revolution of awareness. Yeah. This awareness, this new awareness, perception, consciousness, is very inconvenient to man. Not because there's something bad ahead. God forbid, to the contrary. You can reveal the entire world. Suddenly, as if into this closed world of yours, you bring in the horizon and open it up. And behind it, like when you open a window, you see the new world that you never expected exists there. And this is what we have to come to. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that if you won't want to reach this yourself, then one way or another, the problems that are going and growing will cause us to search more. Yeah, because a person is looking for ways to improve his situation, and he'll look. He'll look, and he'll find. There's the ability to tell about these things in advance, and then we can prevent many problems and calamities, including world wars and other things that people will do out of frustration. And it could be a quiet revolution of our perception, our awareness, out of mutual consent, mutual support. But it has to happen. Eventually, man has to change his perception. Why does man feel such inner resistance toward change, even though that he knows that probably there's something good up ahead? The problem is that there's like something internal that stops you. Obviously, because it's a change in nature. A person has to change his attitude toward reality. Instead of using reality and delighting himself the way he does now, treating everything as his own property, he has to learn, he has to teach himself how to enjoy giving, fulfilling, participating, how to enjoy giving instead of enjoying reception. And it's possible. It's all a matter of psychological change, because the truth is, we just want to enjoy. What do I care what to enjoy? Just explain, where is it possible? And I'm not just talking about pleasure. I'm talking about the entire world opens up before you, the whole of reality. You can really enjoy things endlessly. So I think that it's a matter of explanation, support, very big support from one's environment, and the bit of suffering that does exist. We don't need more for them to help us advance. This new perception that has to develop in mankind, it'll actually shift us from our old perception to a new one, to a new kind of awareness. These changes, they can be of different sorts. Lately, in China, tens of thousands of Muslims are being kept in closed camps, and they want to forcefully change their perception. They have to get up in the morning, put up the Chinese flag, say that I was wrong, the Quran is a mistake, and so on and so forth. And people that were able to escape these camps, they say that at night, because of all the brainwashing, a person reaches a state where he's simply crying at night. It's like he's thrown into a washing machine and someone else comes out. And those that were able to escape this process, they're saying that maybe regardless of the physical torture, man's spirit is broken, and simply people cry at night. Why am I telling you about all of this? When we're talking about a revolution in our perception, the kind of revolution, the means to do it, what are we talking about here? What has to influence me that will cause me to advance from where I am now to this future state, perception, awareness? Can people come to me and do it forcefully, or it's something completely different? We're talking just about one thing, that you explain to a person that the way that we're developing right now, we come to mass destruction if we don't blow up this planet altogether. And there is no other way, because if we continue developing in our egoistic desire, in our egoistic will to receive, we're really reaching the end of human existence. Or that by changing our attitude, the relations between us, regardless of beliefs, religions, cultures, anything and everything, the only thing that we change is our attitude toward each other, only the relations between people. From bad to good, there's a method that can change the relations between people from bad to good, from using, exploiting others in a cruel way, to giving and love and support and help. So this is very interesting. The change that you're talking about, it has nothing to do with my beliefs, my opinions. It doesn't touch that. The only thing that it touches is my attitude toward other people, and only. And this is what changes a person that much? Of course. By this, I position myself in contrast to the rest of nature, to the still, vegetative, the animate, and the human level that exists in reality, if I change myself, because the whole of reality is based on the will, the egoistic desire to receive pleasure, to fulfill oneself. And here I want to reach a state where I want to live according to the measure to which I fulfill the desires of others. I fulfill their desires using my own desire, because without my own desire, I won't be able to help anyone fulfill theirs. But if this is something that I want to do, then actually my desire starts working in an even greater way. And this way, I start realizing myself. Question. If I understand the essence of the change, the essence of the development is only regarding man's attitude towards others, I start treating others favorably. I start thinking, how can I do good to others? This is the essence of the change. Yes, this is the new awareness, perception that we're headed toward. Yeah. Now, to say the truth, I'm thinking about myself most of the time. Now, in that future state where I think about how to benefit others, why do I need the wisdom of Kabbalah to bridge this gap? Why not just start treating others favorably? Go ahead. So what do we need the wisdom of Kabbalah for? There were such people, many philosophers, many methods that talked about changing human nature. It's not that we're the first to talk about it in the history of mankind. But what did you get as a result? Nothing. Things only got worse. You saw what happened with the Bolsheviks in Russia and the different socialists, the national socialists, the fascists, how they talked, and before them all the utopians, revisionists, plenty and plenty of people throughout history. This is something that you can research and see that the communistic ideal, which is a commune where everyone's one, inequality, helping each other. It is a very ancient method. That actually the most primitive life from thousands and thousands of years ago, they lived as communists, in a natural way. Yeah, that everything belongs to everyone. There's no difference between us, inside the tribe, suppose. And that's it. Meaning, but we can't do it today. We can't. Our nature, our ego, won't allow us to reach these states. Because on the inside, I'm all the time thinking, how can I benefit myself at the expense of others? I have this inner program inside of me that's working all the time, right? I look at you, how can I derive pleasure from you? You know how to write, you know how to talk, you know how to present things, doesn't matter what and how can I use you? Automatically, on the inside, this is what I'm thinking about. And toward you and toward everyone else, how can I derive pleasure from everyone? And this is something that immediately appears in me, exists in me, once I see another person. I don't see that person. I see his form. How can I derive pleasure from him? Okay, just to make things clear. So there are two options. One is coercion. You put people into some camp and brainwash them. That's a bad way. We're not talking about that. The other good way is a way that we say, okay, let's teach people good values, good morals, how to love others. But that doesn't work too. It doesn't. So what is this third path that the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about? This is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. What's unique about it? It says that we have to use the upper force. Upper meaning what? The force of bestowal that exists in nature. We are in the force of reception, and our entire life and everything that we see in this world, we see everything through this force of reception, meaning we don't see the world, but the world that we see is the way that our egoistic desire depicts it to us. And this is how it is to begin with. Meaning, in front of me, there is this egoistic desire, and I can see the world only according to what goes through it. And it changes everything. It forces me to see you like this, and him like that, and everything, and so on. Everything through this prism, through these egoistic glasses. And I can't change them. The wisdom of Kabbalah says you can switch glasses. How? This is something that we do by being in a society where we start teaching ourselves, and not the way they do it in China, but also not by way of teaching good morals and values. No. It's a method. What does this method say? It says that outside of man, there is the force of bestowal, of giving. And we're in it, like in an ocean. But we're completely enveloped by the force of reception, the force of the ego. We can invite this external force of bestowal, where the whole of reality is the force of bestowal, perfection. People tend to reveal this, not to reveal it, but to feel that this is how it has to be. In religions, in different beliefs, individuals. And then we only have to draw this force upon ourselves for it to work on us. It's passive. It can work on us on condition that we want for it to change us. And then the entire wisdom of Kabbalah, actually, is aimed at awakening this external force. So the method is how to awaken that external force of bestowal that exists in nature for it to change us. So once it changes us, it will give us the ability to connect with one another in a good, nice, mutual way. And then, through these changes that we'll go through, we will also start relating this way to reality. We'll start creating a connection between this positive force that exists in us and the positive force that exists outside of us. And in between, there is some kind of egoistic envelope, and we'll know how to cross it, both by the positive force and also the way that it'll influence us. and then we'll be like a sandwich. We're good, the upper force is good, and in between us, there is the force of evil, separating us. And it's actually good. Why? Because it does not allow us to disappear inside that great big force, but to be independent, understanding, feeling. Because in the connection between the good and bad, our ego and the force of bestowal, we can see these things, identify them, see the world, but to see the world no longer from the side of bad, but from the side of good. Would it be true to say that this development is a kind of brainwashing that a person goes through? No. We really discover nature and the forces that are operating in nature. It's not brainwashing. We're inviting external forces that influence us. So what's the difference between this and brainwashing? Brainwashing is when you invite something directly upon yourself, from within yourself or from the environment. Here we're talking about that I want to become like the external force, which is my complete opposite, for it to change me against my own nature, against my own desire. Meaning, it's not brainwashing, but to the contrary, I discover my resistance toward it, and nevertheless, my desire to be that way. Unfortunately, our time's up. Last question. We talked about a revolution in our perception that humanity is about to go through. And we said that the wisdom of Kabbalah can help us in this process for us to go through it in a good, nice, and pleasant way. At the end of this process, can you describe humanity? What will we have that we don't have today? Humanity will open up its eyes in the force of bestowal, which is limitless. It'll see itself and reality in a limitless way, the very opposite, not even the opposite, but in a completely different way than now. Humanity will see that we're all connected, and the information and feeling and all of our qualities and all of our fulfillments pass from person to person without any limitations. Everyone will have a complete and entire world, and not at the expense of others. And all of us will live an eternal life, whole, perfect, tranquil. And there are other things that we can't even express in our words, in our language. Things are going to be good. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.